Welcome to Piano Jazz. On this program from 2002, Marion McPartland welcomes Jason Moran, who in 2010 was awarded the coveted Genius Award from the MacArthur Foundation.
He's a young man of original thinking and high ideals, and he brings a totally fresh approach to the musical table. And I'm dying to hear some of that stuff.
Me too.
How did you get started? You're from Houston originally.
I'm from Houston,
right?
Texas. My parents put my brothers and I in piano lessons kind of as something to keep us busy during the summers. And so we just took piano lessons all for maybe 5 or 6 years straight. And I just was kind of, okay, this is kind of a chore rather than something I like to do. And I hated it. And I still say that. My parents hate that I say that I hated piano.
And you just say that to tease them.
I think maybe I do. But then, you know, and then I heard Thelonious Monk and I was like, well, this is it. This, I have arrived. This is who I want to be.
That's what you heard first?
That's who I heard that made me want to play the piano. Like,
yeah,
actually,
that's interesting.
Want to play.
I mean, do you recall what you heard? Like, what?
Around midnight. It was around midnight.
I was wondering about that because to me, Monk is so, it's so amazing that he would write a tune like that and then he'd write like Hackensack or something that's kind of quirky.
Very, very. Well, the many sides.
The many, many sides of
I mean,
Monk.
I think that's almost like any great artist that they have so many different facets of their composition or artistic style. So, yeah.
I suppose that's true. And, of course, you're going to do something by Ravel. We've never had somebody start out piano jazz playing Ravel. And I think that's wonderful because everybody, I think all jazz musicians love Ravel and those kind of impressionist composers.
Right.
So I'm really looking forward to what you're going to do.
Yeah, this is kind of my take on Ravel. It's from Le Tombeau de Couperin, the third movement for Forlan, and then I composed a piece based on a small section of his piece.
But you do a little bit of Forlan in
yes,
there.
Yes, I play that first, and then I go into my piece, which is called States of Art.
Oh, so yeah. I'm dying to hear that. Okay. I think I would find that hard to take that Ravel piece and improvise on it.
Well, the thing
makes
is,
me want to try it though. Now
but
I hear
you
it.
Have but, like the things that you create like spontaneously are almost probably more complex than any of his pieces. You know what I mean? So if you somebody transcribed a Mary McPartland solo and they put it in front of you, you'd be like, "Wow, this is amazing."
I don't want to see any of my stuff in front of me, boy. I don't want to see any of that stuff. Well. That really got me started, was hearing that. That's beautiful. Now, I would like to hear another something, of maybe one of your songs. Or
right. This is actually a piece that I've learned from my teacher, Jackie Byard.
Oh, I loved Jackie Byard. He was such a great guy.
Yes, and I was fortunate to be under his wing for 4 years.
He was something else. So undoubtedly, you've learned a lot from him.
Yes. This is a piece entitled Out Front.
Oh, that should be great.
Thank you.
studying with Andrew Hill, who I find him sort of, a little frightening with some of the things that he does. What did you get from him?
Oh, wow. This is a question I'm often asked and never can answer. He's actually with rhythm. This is approach to rhythm, which isn't as standard as most. There aren't strings of steady eighth notes or, you know, ba-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. He kind of truncates them and expands them, so it's very uneven. And also, when you speak to him, he has kind of a stuttered way of talking. And so his lines are often very indicative of the way he actually speaks, because they are broken. You know, they really move very precariously, and you can never really predict where he's going to go. So it's almost, when I've listened to his stuff so much and it's become a part of my playing so much, it's mostly his rhythm, but it's also his sensitivity and how his touch of the piano. I mean, Jackie also talked about that, is a pianist should have a touch, you know, that should be just as singular as Coltrane's tone or Coleman Hawkins's tone on the saxophone. A pianist, when they sit at a piano, should have their own touch. You should be able to recognize it, you know what I mean?
Well, you certainly have a good knowledge of dynamics. I mean, you get very loud and vociferous, and then it goes down to a whisper. I mean, mm-hmm. I love that. I love to hear dynamics rather than, you know, some people play at one level.
Right.
And anyway, luckily you don't do that.
But dynamics are often, I've always thought, is almost more important than what you're actually playing. I mean, you can do a lot more. You can create a lot more drama with loud and soft and everything in between.
Oh, sure. And I mean, yeah. I guess drama is what it's all about to mm-hmm. a certain extent. Because mm-hmm. and when you're playing for people, what do you think about playing for them, or what do you want them to get out of hearing you play?
Yeah, that's a question every night that changes. It's like whether or not I'm mad because the club owner is really being, you know.
I guess it does change, because but don't you get sort of a vibe from the people when you sit down? Do you know what's out there?
Right. Sometimes. You may not even actually feel like playing until you actually sit down at your instrument and the band looks at you and you start to play. And
that's true.
Immediately after that, you're kind of in a totally different world. I mean, I've heard many musicians say it, and, you know, maybe it sounds even corny, but actually for me, it's almost like you forget where you are. And then by the end of the piece, when you stop and people clap, you're almost reminded that you're in front of people. And they want to, you know, I want to give as much energy as I possibly can in every performance, because I want them to actually feel that. And, you know, if they see that and feel that, then they will respond to it. And so
yeah,
I've been fortunate.
I feel the same way about it. Mm-hmm. And you can sort of know, I think, if you've got that kind of an audience that's really with you and they're just digging everything that's happening.
Right.
Well, I could talk about this a lot, but, you know, I think we ought to maybe play a duet. I would love to do that.
Beautiful.
And what do you think we should do? What would be a good tune?
Let's try I Didn't Know What Time It Was.
I would love to hear you maybe do a chorus in front. Would you do like an ad lib one?
Sure.
And then take the tempo and we'll just wing it, see where we go. you know, since Monk was your first influence, maybe we should do a monkish kind of a tune. What do you think?
That'd be great. But I guess you kind of knew Monk.
I did. I mean, as well as anyone could know him, I guess. I used to go to the Five Spot and hear him. But he came to hear me play once, and when I think how nervy I was, you know, I met him on the street, and I said, oh, I just learned one of your tunes around midnight, and when you're down in the area, we should stop by the club. I'd love to play it for you. You know, what arrogance. It's so awful. I thought I was hip. Anyway, he came one night with a friend of his, and it was a wet night, and they wore long black raincoats and berets, and the two of them looked very suspicious, and they went and sat in the booth in the back of the club, and we played with the trio, and they never stopped talking, never looked around, and I waited for some kind of reaction, you know, and there was none. So at the end of the set, they got up and walked out and left me with the bill.
Oh, wow. Wow.
That should teach me a lesson.
Yeah, things don't change. Huh? They do that still.
I did meet him under some better circumstances, but that was one for the books because, you know, I fell right into that. So, well, let's do Bempshire Swing?
Bempshire Swing, that sounds good.
Okay. You started out and I'll fall in somewhere.
Okay.
Hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast. Tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.npr.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.